But first, after 23 years on death row in Arizona, a Tucson man named Barry Jones just saw his conviction thrown out, which is very rare. Now the state must decide if it will retry him or release him. All along, Jones has maintained his innocence, but it's been a long road to the judge's order, which called his 1995 trial a rush to judgment by law enforcement. Liliana Segura with The Intercept has been covering all of the twists and turns in this case for years, and she started by telling me more about the man at the center of this, Barry Jones.
So Barry Jones is a man who's been on Arizona's death row since 1995. He was convicted in 1995 of the rape and murder of a four-year-old girl, his girlfriend's daughter, Rachel Gray. And he became a suspect after Rachel Gray was brought into a hospital in Tucson early in the morning hours of May 2nd, 1994. Barry Jones had been living with her mother, and Barry Jones dropped Angela off at the hospital with Rachel. Rachel was essentially dead on arrival, and very quickly became the suspect, the main suspect in this case, with relatively little, very little in the way of investigation before he became suspect number one.
Right. Tell us what the case was built on. Like, why did they convict him?
So basically, Barry Jones drops off Angela and Rachel at the hospital, and within a matter of hours becomes the main suspect. And it starts with this police detective, Sonia. At the time, her name was Sonia Rankin. She's now Sonia Pisquera, and she was working for the Pima County Sheriff's Department. And she comes in to the hospital and kind of does her own examination of Rachel Gray. She's, you know, 4 years old, covered in bruises. Somebody definitely hurt this child. But the autopsy hadn't been performed yet. It was very unclear what had happened. All that they knew was that she was dead and that Barry Jones had dropped her off with her mother at the hospital. So this investigator sort of does an initial sort of physical examination of Rachel Gray, and then does a couple of interviews, primarily with the mother, who's really out of it, really in shock, you know, sort of doesn't know what happened, sort of gives a bunch of incoherent statements. Then very quickly from there, the investigator goes in search of Barry Jones, and through a number of different, you know, police officers and sergeants, detectives, they track him down, they bring him in, and then they proceed to really harshly interrogate him over the course of several hours. Mm-hmm. And I've watched that interrogation, and by the end of it, and, you know, police detectives use all sorts of techniques to try to get people to talk, but by the end of it, Barry Jones is very out of it, very emotional. It seems pretty clear that he's only just learned that Rachel Gray wasn't just severely injured, but was actually dead. You know, there's that exchange. And then by the end of the interview or interrogation, Sonia Pisquera is essentially saying, "We know you did this. Why don't you confess? You know, we all know that you were responsible. All the evidence points to you." He never does confess, and they take him into custody nevertheless. And so, you know, within a matter of hours, he's sort of in custody, and his faces in the newspapers the next day.
So he has been on death row now for 23 years, right? And has always maintained his innocence?
He has, yeah. He's always maintained his innocence. There was no understanding of what happened here. The next day after his arrest, there's an autopsy that's carried out by the Pima County Medical Examiner, and it reveals that this little girl died from an abdominal injury, the development of a condition called peritonitis. And so whatever happened to her, there was a severe blow to her stomach, sort of abdominal area. And the sort of theory that arises out of this case is all entirely based on a timeline in which Barry Jones had been seen with this little girl the day before she arrives at the hospital.
Right.
In sort of the years that this case has been under appeal, what's been discovered is that actually that timeline, that very narrow timeline that was presented at trial, was basically impossible. And several medical experts have testified and written reports saying that, you know, whatever happened in this case, it's impossible that this particular injury would have developed in the way that it did in the time frame that the state claimed, and that sort of was the foundation for the state's case against Barry Jones.
So his conviction has recently been overturned by a judge. What did the judge say when he made this ruling?
So the judge found that Barry Jones did prove his case, that essentially, you know, not only did he receive unconstitutionally ineffective assistance of counsel, it would have made a difference, you know, in the outcome of the original case. And he threw out not only the death sentence, but the conviction itself, which is also exceedingly rare. And one of the most important things that he determined was that this wasn't just a matter of ineffective assistance, that in fact the failure of Barry Jones's lawyers to fully investigate his case, that those failures were sort of inextricable from the failures on the part of law enforcement in Pima County. You know, the prosecutors tried to say, this isn't a case about law enforcement, this is about the mistakes that Barry Jones's attorneys made. And the judge wasn't having it. The judge said, well, actually, no, it's about both these things and how they sort of, you know, in tandem worked to send this man to death row based on very flimsy evidence that wouldn't hold up today. We don't know what's going to happen yet. Essentially, the judge said in his ruling the state needs to give notice within 45 days that they intend to retry Barry Jones and actually take steps to retry him within 120 days. So that's pretty fast.
Yeah.
Last I checked, the state hadn't made a move in either direction. And, you know, according to the judge's order, you know, they've got to either retry him or release him, period.
Right. So that's what's next. And we're waiting to find out what happens there now. But I wonder also, so having reported on this case for so long now and dug into all of the twists and turns and the legal limbo that he's in now and the legal mistakes that got him here, Arizona has exonerated, I think, 9 people from death row. So I wonder if you can put this into context for us in terms of how many people are on death row right now and this broader movement to look at some of those cases and see if they should be.
I think, first of all, it's a testament to the incredibly hard work of the Federal Public Defender's Office in Arizona. I mean, this is an office that's just so dedicated to really reinvestigating these cases. And you know, nationally, we've seen 162 exonerations, death row exonerations in this country. And that's a really sort of staggering figure. But it's actually even larger than that, because a lot of times that doesn't actually account for the cases where there isn't even a technical exoneration. A lot of people who are wrongfully convicted are never actually exonerated in a real sense. You know, they have to either plead guilty, sort of cut a deal with the state, or do something called an Alford plea. So the 162 number is large and important to know, but it doesn't quite capture just the magnitude of how often the state gets it wrong. And, you know, it's you see this a lot with cases involving young children. You know, when young children die, it's really hard to take, and I see this in cases I've written about. You know, sometimes it is somebody's fault, or sometimes there actually wasn't a crime. But either way, you often see a sort of rush to judgment, which is exactly how the judge described it in Barry Jones's case. And you know, in the context of the sort of broader death penalty fight, you know, it's so critical to keep in mind. I mean, you know, people go to prison who are innocent all the time, but for people to end up on death row, I mean, that's a mistake you cannot correct.
All right. Liliana Segura is a senior reporter with The Intercept. Liliana, thank you so much for joining us to tell us about this.